Because now I know with regard to Agalavatta, they say that the caste factor influenced the vote. But on the other hand, it's a 95% Goigama district. And what is, I think, more significant is that Dr. Kalyani
got
so many votes.
Yeah. Well, that shows, as I said, the influence getting less and less. There are other factors which come in now. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the political awakening of the people. I think they are very politically alive now in most places in the island, and these things are cutting across.
If I may ask you a general question about the left movement. As the situation exists today, that is with reference to this coalition. I know even LSSP had doubts about coalition, and there were about three strands of opinion there. And by now I think Dr. Vikramasinghe's party is very closely allied with them. But some leftists claim that the manner of the coalition is such that the vanguard of this progressive bloc is not the proletarian party but the SLFP, and that we are really being, that the left proletarian groups are really being pulled along, and that this is not good tactically or even in terms of the classical Marxist-Leninist concepts.
So now what is your question?
No, I was wondering what you would say to that.
Well, as I say, I'm an outsider speaking. I would say I think it is the correct thing in the circumstances we're in Ceylon to take part in such a coalition. I would, provided you can have a common policy with which you are in agreement. I personally wouldn't sacrifice any principles which are really fundamental ones to be in such a coalition, but we haven't heard what the common program is yet, so I'm not suggesting that that is being done in any way. But I should say that it would be the correct thing if it is possible to have a common policy, that one should get together and join forces and try to bring down the UNP, which is getting an ever-increasing danger with its alliance with the American, for example. One's got to think not only of local affairs, but in the world in the context of world affairs. And I think all the achievements that have been made in Ceylon over the last years are likely to be whittled away if we allow foreign capital and particularly economic domination of America and Britain to take place. But our aim would be to combine with all forces who would stand firm to prevent that.
I was not here when this Chinese-Indian war broke out, but what was the general feeling in Ceylon on that issue? I mean, everyone would have said it was unfortunate, but was it pro-Indian or pro-Chinese?
I would say more, the majority would be pro-Indian than pro-Chinese, but there were some people who felt, for one reason or another, that India was to blame in certain ways, but that I would say would be quite a small minority.
I was wondering whether you have any comments to make on China's role in the South and Southeast Asia. You know, some people see her as a threat. Mm. Others are partial to her, to China. I mean, for instance, the Chinese wing of the Communist Party is completely broken.
Well, I think it's very difficult to understand the Chinese, what they're aiming at and what they're trying to do. And I think it's perhaps the greatest tragedy in history that they have started acting in such an incomprehensible manner over the last 5 years or so. If they had kept their solidarity with the Soviet Union, with the other communist and anti-imperialist forces of the world, we would not be in the position we are today. There would be no war in Vietnam. The situation in the Middle East wouldn't be what it is. And the internal condition in Africa and all over the world would have been very, very different. And just at this moment when the forces were becoming strong, the forces of progress were becoming strong, this split has really set us back hundreds of years.
Yes, I think that you say you're saying that it has hindered the socialist movement.
Definitely.
What I can't quite grasp is why some Asians, say some Sudanese, and even Indians, are partial to China. I mean, there you get Chinese blocs, shall we say, in small groups. How is it that they're attracted to her?
Of course, that's very difficult to say, and there are very many reasons, very many motives. Some motives may be pure, and some motives may be less pure. But I suppose there are people who genuinely feel that China is the leading revolutionary country, and that they have to support her for those reasons. But it is, as I say, very difficult to understand how people who have any knowledge of development and history can see anything but harm in this present policy which China is carrying out.
I was wondering if just the mere fact that she's that powerful and that she's Asian, as distinct from Russia and America, that influences.
That is certainly there. They're very proud of her as an Asian country. Although, of course, Russia is not Asian, but the Soviet Union has forgotten the percentage, but much more than 50% of their territory is in Asia, isn't it? And I think 8 out of the 15 states are Asian, so that one has to modify that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But still, I think there's a lot of truth in what you say, they feel. And of course one has had always such an admiration for the people of China, for their industry, for their craftsmanship, for their hard work. One still hopes that the wrong line, the wrong policy which is being followed will be changed, and that once more she will become a force for great progress in the world. Seems to be signs of a lot of resentment to their present policy within China itself.
Well, that's good.
Some points made by Mrs. Wickremasinghe when the recorder was not on. Typist comments from here. On reflection, Mrs. Wickremasinghe said that in those days the influence of the headman was very, very powerful at election time. They were generally, if not invariably, on the side of the conservative rightist forces. And even those who favored the more leftist inclined candidates never could do so openly. That is, in the times of the UNP regimes, they could not come out openly in support of the leftist candidates. Thus, they could not openly canvass, for instance. W- when I mentioned that I was interested in the administrative structures and would like to talk to Dr. Wickramasinghe about it, she commented that conditions were terrible. There were, and that red tape was tremendous. To get a little thing done, you had to go from this department to that department, etc. When I said that I was interested in a study of corporations as well, she said the person I should meet was Robin Ratnam. I inquired whether Robin Ratnam had drifted away from the left movement. She said, well, not quite, that he's still very friendly with us and with Kolvinar, and he's still left-oriented. But added, of course, he's an idealist and he's rather disillusioned. I think by being disillusioned she meant that he was disillusioned with some of the policies adopted by the left movement themselves in more recent years. Certainly disillusioned with with more recent political developments. Ari Jazirka's name cropped up, and she said that he was a terrible rogue, that he had no political principles whatsoever, and besides which, he was dishonest. She came across this when she was doing the Suryamala campaign, and it shocked her greatly. That is, Ari Jazirka appropriated some monies he had collected during the Suryamala campaign for himself. When, after he had collected the money, he had told her that he had collected such and such. She had put it down. And then when the time came to pool the money, she had contributed this sum from her own pocket, but Ari Jazirka had never paid it up. She never thought that this sort of thing would happen, and that it would occur with regard to such a cause as the Suryamala campaign. Another subject that she touched on was that of the SLFP and the coalition performances in the 60s. I pointed out that Mrs. Bandaranaike and the SLFP had a straight majority after July 1960, but had wasted away their opportunities. And she nodded agreement in a manner which suggested that it was something to be regretted. She added that the coalition itself had performed badly. They made such, quote, terrible blunders, close quote, she said. People all along had commented that the left movement had all the brains, but here, on this occasion, they had shown themselves sadly lacking in this sphere. She did not elaborate further, but I commented that the press bill was one such example in that it had to be drafted 12 times. And that even one could even question their sense of priorities in paying so much attention to this feature. After all, 1956 had been possible in spite of the press. She responded thus, yes, it would have been better to concentrate on the economic conditions rather than on the press. She added, then there was the case of the Giritale, typist put a question mark, mill. N.M. Pereira's blunder in this sphere. I said I was not here at that time, and she said, and I asked whether the mill was his. She said he had bought it up before he entered the government. But after he became Minister of Finance, had passed it on to his neighbor. But now this mill, rice mill, received government contracts. And during N.M. Pereira's time as Minister of Finance, these government contracts had been enhanced. Rather, tending to blacken his reputation. Not that he did anything illegal, it was strictly within the law, but his integrity could be questioned. The point being that in previous decades, the left moon had stood for brains and for integrity. Well, the performance during the coalition had not revealed any brains, and it had cast a shadow over their reputed integrity. She added further that then there was the question of the 21 demands. Before he went into the government, he had supported them. But when in the government, he had been against these trade union demands. Shona? Mm-hmm. Of course, without being in the government, it's difficult to speak about the pros and cons of the situation. But it would appear that when the trade union leaders wanted to see him about it, he refused to see them. He did not allow anyone to make representations. Typist, a point about Ari Jatilka to be inserted earlier. She added that Ari Jatilka was also involved in a shady deal concerning spades. Spades, I said. Mammoths, she replied. In fact, it was so notorious that when he was in Parliament, this was the occasion when she was also an MP, whenever he got up to speak, many of the MPs would begin to whisper quite loudly, "Mammoths, Mammoths, Mammoths." I inquired whether he was a UNP member. She said no, he was independent, but not very popular with the left movement.
End of comments, end of interview.